Let us pray. Lord God, in this season of Epiphany, we pray that you would come among us and that you would open up our hearts, our minds, and our lives to the revelation of you and Jesus Christ. For we ask it in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Happy Epiphany. Yeah, it is. Not a word we use much. I was really surprised that several years ago in the movie Hook, do you all remember that? When Captain Hook suddenly has a moment and he says, "I've had an epiphany." And then later his sidekick Smee says, "I've had an apostrophe." Hopefully, no apostrophes, just epiphanies. For those of us who do follow the calendar of the church year, there are times when you feel like you're kind of on a carnival ride. I mean, really, like, do you remember the Scrambler or the Tilt-A-Whirl, those rides that would just sling you all over the place like a rag doll? Sometimes we're jerked back and forth through biblical time. 2 weeks ago, this day, was Christmas Eve. And we were all gathered together. And there we were in Bethlehem, kneeling before the newborn king, thinking of the angel's songs while we're contemplating that great mystery of the incarnation. Yesterday, just yesterday, was the Feast of the Epiphany, which is celebration of the coming of the wise men from the east with their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They bring them to the child, Jesus. Now, in the islands and in parts of Central America and South America, Epiphany is called Three Kings. And it's a larger celebration than Christmas for them. When I was in the Army, we'd send soldiers home for Christmas. The ones who were from the island, especially Puerto Rico, remained behind. You didn't send them home till Three Kings. That's where the celebration is. And it's the wise men who bring the gifts, not Santa. Children don't leave carrots for reindeer. They put hay under their bed for the camels. It sounds more biblical. I like it. But we're never going to get Wall Street to go for it, I don't think. The Santa thing makes too much money. Epiphany is the celebration of the revelation of God in Christ Jesus. And all the lessons that we're going to have in our gospel readings as we go through Epiphany are going to have to do with that revelation of who Jesus is. And today, as Christ is revealed to the nations, or especially yesterday, I would say, it was the fulfillment of Simeon's song in the temple, if you remember that. Simeon had waited and had been told by God that he would see the Messiah before he died. And when he saw Jesus in the temple, he said, "Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to liven the Gentiles, us, and the glory of thy people Israel." The Christ child is the Messiah of Israel. He came to save his people, just as the angel Gabriel said he was going to do. And he is also the Savior of the whole world. Because he is the Son of God. Now, Belinda and I have for years collected nativity sets, and I always jokingly say our house is so decorated I'm married to Mrs. Claus. It's still up this morning. But there, I know yesterday, I walked past the Magi probably 30 times. They kept saying, as I walked by, oh, there they are. Here they are, coming. There's a camel. It seems like only yesterday Jesus was an infant. Because he was. And we come today to church, and suddenly we're thrust 30 years into the future. Boom! Instantly, we're on the bank of the Jordan River. And we encounter John the Baptist, whom we also encountered in Advent in week 1 and 2. Now John, Zachariah and Elizabeth's boy, in case you don't remember, he's now full grown. He has a baptismal ministry, a preaching ministry along the banks of the Jordan. He has his own disciples. And the whole Judean countryside, we are told today, and all the people in Jerusalem, went out to him in the wilderness. If you want to get corny, you could say, John made a big splash. Pun intended. But think about it. He's been in our gospel lesson 3 out of the last 6 weeks. Nobody other than Jesus or the disciples does that. And he's eccentric, we're told in the lesson today. He's not going to be on the cover of GQ. He wears camel hair clothing and a belt. And he does have a bizarre diet. But John is in all 4 Gospels. And some of his disciples even show up in the book of Acts. And his ministry and his death are recorded by the Jewish historian Josephus. In fact, if it wasn't for Josephus, we wouldn't know Herodias' daughter's name, who dances to get his head. She's Ptolemy. That's not from Scripture. That's from the historian Josephus. John did make a huge splash. And he has many titles. I'll give you some of them right now. The Eastern Orthodox Church refers to him as St. John the Forerunner. Frequently you'll see churches, St. John the Forerunner, Orthodox Church. Some European Baptists refer to him as John the Immerser, which I'm sure would catch on here if people knew that. The Western Church, Roman Catholics, Episcopalians, Lutherans, refer to him as St. John the Baptist. Protestant, John the Baptist. He's also in Islam. His name is Yahya ibn Zachariah. John, the son of Zachariah. He is in the Quran 5 times, including his birth narrative is in there. The Baha'i faith has John the Baptist. And the Mandalayans, not to be confused with the ones on television, John the Baptist is their chief prophet. They believe him to be the Messiah, even the ones who are alive today. And if you're watching The Chosen, Simon calls him Creepy John. Which is a term they mean affectionately, I'm sure. Even later, when Andrew's telling John the story of the day that Jesus walked by and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," he's telling that to John so that John can record it for his gospel, which is there in his gospel. And he says, and John looked up and said, "Behold!" And Simon jumps in front of him and says, "I have found a new bug to eat." a source of humor, but in a reverential way, sort of. In our text today, Jesus comes from Galilee to be baptized by John in the Jordan. Mark doesn't reveal any conversation that they had. The actual description of the baptism is simply this. He was baptized by John in the Jordan.
Ta-da.
Short, sweet, to the point. And one of the things that people do when there's a baptism is the family gathers around the pond and they have a picture made. At this baptism, no one took a photograph, obviously. But what Mark recorded tells us that all three persons of the Holy Trinity were there. Just as Jesus, the Son, was coming up out of water, he saw heaven being torn open, and the Spirit, Holy Spirit, descending on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, the Father, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." When this happens in Scripture, and that happens very rarely, scholars call it a theophany. There will be a quiz later. Theophany. God showing up. And Mark relates this to us, and he tells us what Jesus saw. What Jesus heard. It's a little different from the other gospel versions. But what's important in Mark relating this to us is that we are now, in reading it, we're in on it. We see the dove descend on Jesus. We hear the voice say, but Mark recorded it for us. The epiphany of God in Jesus Christ is for us. Now, Mark doesn't begin his gospel with a story of the Nativity. The nice thing in Luke and Matthew, by the time you get to the baptism of Jesus, you know who he is. Because the angel Gabriel has announced it. We know that the Christ child is the Son of God and that he will save his people. But even though Mark doesn't tell this part of the story, he opens with drama. But you'll miss it if you read it too fast because it's familiar. The NIV, where we're reading today, does a very good job in this translation. Listen to the words again. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. Compare that with King James, who rendered this passage, he saw heaven open, and the Spirit descend. In Greek, it was torn open. It's dramatic. The verb is a variant of the Greek verb schizo, from which we get schizophrenic, and other words of things being split. In Greek, it means to rend, to tear apart. It doesn't mean open. Unless you're going to open it by splitting the door in half. Now, baptisms generally are very quiet. You sometimes hear a splash of water. You hear a baby cry. Parents don't like that, but I always like it because it seems a little more dramatic. Like something important's happening. And sometimes a child will just look at you and coo. But that day, on the banks of the Jordan. While it was quiet, the good news of the kingdom of God came bursting out of heaven like a runaway train. Like a freight train just plowing out of heaven. What's unfolding in this moment is profound. It's a profound change in the relationship between human beings and God. Jesus' ministry proclaiming the kingdom has begun. Boom. All the things that we say about at Christmas are starting to be fulfilled. They're starting to happen. Emmanuel, God with us, is suddenly more real than it's ever been. Jesus has begun His ministry. The world is about to be rocked like it's never been rocked before. The heavens are ripped open, torn apart, and God is not confined there, no matter what people's theology would be. Oh, the man upstairs. Think again. In a new way, the kingdom of God is breaking into the world in an extremely dramatic way. Jesus becomes the one who reveals God in a relatable way. Jesus is becoming the Epiphany. He is the revelation of God. And heaven is torn open. There's only one other time that Mark uses the verb schizo. In Mark 15:38. In 15:38, he tells us that at the moment of Jesus' death, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And that's not a curtain like these. The thickness of that curtain was one hand thick. It was woven that thick. Ripped from top to bottom to let you know, tore it. All of the action is on the part of God, just as it was at the baptism. God is not confined. God is not separated from humanity any longer. The Holy of Holies, where humanity used to meet God, is now everywhere. Everywhere is part of the Holy of Holies. God is on the loose. Be careful. Be cautious. God is on the loose, moving freely in the world, seeking to accomplish His will. Some people should be scared. He's seeking to accomplish His will. He's moving freely in the world, and we've got to warn people that if they're not careful, God may reveal Himself to them and change their lives. They could possibly have an epiphany. And when I say warn, of course, I'm jesting. We don't need to warn. We just need to tell them. And invite people into the epiphany. Invite people into Christ. So that they can have that same revelation that you've had. Amen. Now, this didn't fit in the sermon, but I wanted to share it with you really quick. Should any of you want to visit the grave of John the Baptist to pay respect, you're going to have to get more than one passport. There are two Catholic churches and one mosque. They claim to have the skull of John the Baptist. A mosque in Syria, a church in Rome, and a church in France all have the head. Although there is a German museum in Munich that also claims to have the head. I promise you, John did not have four heads. Because if he had, I think Mark would have noted that.
Yeah.
That would have been in the story. A four-headed
prophet.
He did not. His right hand, actually his whole right arm and hand, are in two churches. He had two right arms. And the reason the right hand is so important is they believe, oh, that would have been the hand he would have baptized Jesus with. So that's important. It's in an Orthodox church, and it's in a Catholic cathedral. There are also bones in Egypt, Armenia, Bulgaria, and in case you don't want to get a passport, there is a left-hand finger in the Nelson Atkins Museum in Kansas City, Missouri. You don't have to go all the way overseas to pay your respects. But I want, when it comes to relics of saints, I generally take the attitude that Martin Luther took, and he said, there are enough splinters of the cross to build a ship. Amen.